You're kind of following your own little line, your own little road, but then by the side of you, you're looking to the left and you're looking to the right, and you see what other people are doing. Maybe people have been around for a while, and you keep worrying that you should be doing what they're doing. And what you're actually trying to do is to really find your own groove.
Hello, and welcome to the Coaching Hub podcast with me, your host, Ruth Kidsey. If you're a coach or you're coaching curious, this is the place for you. We're going to be talking all things coaching, personal development, and business development in a really fun way. You're going to hear live coaching sessions, and you're going to come away with tools and techniques that you can practically use and take away. If you enjoy this podcast, I would love you to subscribe. And if you really enjoy it, give me a review. I am very excited today to have Ian Brown on the podcast. So I've just realized there is another person called Ian Brown. It isn't that person called Ian Brown, which I only just realized now, which is quite funny because I've known Ian for a while. So Ian is going to be talking about what he does as the energy leader. So he has got an interesting background. He's going to be sharing a bit more, but he has two different hats. So he works full-time for a big financial services organization, leading that early careers and skills proposition, which helps adults and young people to develop and realize their potential. He's currently on our Optimus Coach Academy training course, but prior to that, he's got a master's degree in coaching and mentoring practice from Oxford Brookes. I'll let him introduce a little bit more about himself and about Willow. So I'll let you introduce yourself as well, Ian, and tell them a little bit more about you as a person.
Yeah, sure. Well, thank you for having me anyway. Yeah, so I'm Ian Brown, not that Ian Brown of the Stone Roses. Sometimes people get disappointed.
I can't believe I only just thought that.
Did you not? No, so Ian Brown with an E. If you're trying to look me up online, I'm the only one with the E on the end. It's very special. So there you go. So yeah, So as you say, I wear two hats. So I work for a big financial services company. I look after their early careers and skills propositions. So I kind of help with schools and helping young people to prepare for moving into work, and then also with smaller businesses and how they develop their skills as well. So I guess all about learning and skills is kind of like what I do in that side. And then there's the coaching side of me as well. And I live just north of Bristol with Isabella, my son Jacob, who's 13, and then our rescue dog Willow, who's currently fast asleep on the sofa by the side of me, where he enjoys his position sometimes when we're doing coaching. If I do coaching in a relaxed way from the sofa, he'll be by the side of me keeping an eye on things. And then I do a bunch of whole different things. I work with community crowdfunding. I am a run leader for an athletics group, so I help and train people on their running journeys. And I guess learning is always just at the center of everything that I'm doing. So coaching is kind of quite a natural thing for me to feel that I wanted to move into, really.
And so you're somebody who's spent 2 years, is that right? Or was it 3 years?
Yes, it's two and a bit years, I think, is by the time you kind of finally graduate with your master's degree from Oxford Brookes. And it's an interesting experience. I mean, I guess my background into kind of getting into coaching, probably like quite a lot of people, is that you kind of see coaching in the workplace. And I'd had a few encounters in the workplace that I kind of felt this is not really the best that I could be, and I wanted to learn more, and I exhausted everything that my company could do, and then I enrolled in doing the master's degree, which was a really interesting experience returning back to university and academic life after a little while and getting used to Harvard referencing and various other things. But I
it never leaves you.
It never leaves you. No, the trauma of getting your citations right and getting the commas in the right place. But I think what I loved was, and I think sometimes we all have a certain age when we get into these things as an arc in life, was really getting to grips with the psychology that was underpinning coaching. So we would spend quite a lot of time around how adults learn and some of the psychodynamics that lie behind coaching. And I never had the opportunity to study like psychology when I was doing A levels or my degree. So completely fascinating. And then I culminated with a piece of research which was all looking at intergenerational mentoring. So this was how older leaders interact with younger new entrants into their company and how they learn from each other, which was deeply fascinating, really kind of getting to grips with how do leaders learn. Because it looks glamorous when maybe when you look up at people on pedestals and you think it looks awesome up there, but it's actually kind of quite a lonely place sitting above the clouds sometimes, and everybody down below just thinks you've got it all licked when actually, you know, you still got quite a few things to learn.
Yes. When would you ever have it all licked? So you did this detailed theoretical Harvard referencing masters. What made you then decide, actually, I want to do a diploma with Optimus on top?
Yeah, it's a good question, isn't it? Because you think, are you just a glutton for punishment, really? It's 2 years, 2 years not enough. You just need to put yourself. No, I think at the heart of it is kind of like, you know, what drives me in terms of, you know, the job that I do full time is to have an impact on people. And I think although I loved doing the Brooks experience, I mean, there were a few moments where I probably didn't enjoy the referencing bit, but actually, you know, in terms of personal growth and really stretching yourself, completely awesome in terms of understanding how people think and some of the neuroscience behind it, deeply fascinating, and just made sense of a lot of things in my own life. The funny thing, I guess, is that when you finish doing something of that kind of academic nature, is that although I understood quite a lot of the theory, I didn't feel entirely comfortable with trying to put that theory into practice, which sounds really strange because you think, oh gosh, you've got so much of this knowledge, but actually knowledge is one thing. Putting that knowledge into practice to create an impact that's valuable for someone else is where it always was for me. And I just felt that was missing in my armory, which was when you and I first had our chat way back when, around what are we going to do here? And the whole notion of what pure coaching was going to open up for me as well.
So... and let's go there. So where do you want this coaching and this pure coaching to take you?
So I think what I've realized, and I think a lot of new coaches go through this journey as well, is that you're kind of following your own little line, your own little road. But then by the side of you, you're looking to the left and you're looking to the right and you see what other people are doing. Maybe people have been around for a while and you keep worrying that you should be doing what they're doing. Mm. What you're actually trying to do is to really find your own groove. That's difficult when you first start out because you're constantly thinking and trying to compare yourself with others, even though mentors, particularly from Optimus, will be saying, don't do that, you do it all the same.
And we do our best to encourage you not to, but
yeah,
we know you don't listen.
it's an urge, isn't it? And I think the bit for me with what I'm learning through Optimus with pure coaching is just the sheer power that lies within it. Because I think there's a danger sometimes that we can acquire so much technical knowledge that we feel then our role is to almost teach our clients all of the stuff that we know. And that's really not what it's about. At the heart of it, what we want to do is to help the clients get to where they need to be. And it's about picking the right tool for the job, but that doesn't necessarily mean to say that we have to kind of throw that tool in front of the client, put bells and whistles on it and say, look how clever we are. We know this tool. And the power of what I'm getting really from Optimus is being able to relax back into pure coaching and actually just see its power in there and you know, some instances, you know, of late, and working with Lizzie, who's my mentor, reminded me that sometimes it's astounding the progress that clients can make between sessions, whereas when you're a novice coach, because you have these insecurities, you're constantly thinking, I need the big breakthrough in the session, I need the validation of who I am, and then you realize actually you're opening the doors for people to think in different ways. And sometimes when they're left to their own devices for that week or so, when they're not with you, they make astounding leaps based on the conversation that you've had. So really kind of learning a lot about the power of pure coaching and letting some of the techniques stand in the background. And new things we're discovering now for where I am, because I'm 3 months or so in, we're just starting looking at somatics, and that's a whole new thing in my repertoire that I have very little experience about. So I'm really enjoying, being exposed to a whole new dimension of coaching that isn't really that present in the corporate workplace, which is maybe why I've not been exposed to it so far. So it's great, and you learn a lot from the other students, but I think you also learn a lot from the generosity of the people who are training you, and then the community groups around as well, not just in the coaching but also practical stuff that people are telling you around developing developing the business side of coaching, which you tend not to do so much at university.
I love that. I like to know that it's helping you teach, you learn new things, and kind of that power of the in-between, I think, is something that people don't really consider, because lots of us don't often process fully in the moment. So we can have a great coaching session, but I know actually before this, so I have a leadership coach, we had a 2-hour coaching session, and then I had half an hour before this, and I was processing a lot of what had happened in that session afterwards, and I know I will continue to process over the next few days and get some real clarity on some things that maybe we just touched on. And then when I see her next, you know, I don't actually know where I'll be in relation to those. And I find that really exciting because it's that power. You can talk a good game. You can say that you're going to do things, but actually it's about how do you apply that? How do you apply that to your thinking or your feeling or your being in reality?
Yeah. And sometimes things just need that time to percolate. I know they do for me, and that's the advantage with having a rescue dog, is you end up doing a lot of walking with rescue dogs.
So I do
there's a lot of idea percolation. He's definitely earning his keep in terms of helping me with my thinking.
I love that. Get a dog.
It's good for your thinking. Yeah, we've hit on a new business idea.
I love this idea that dogs don't, and it's the worst thing, because everyone seems to be talking to me about dogs, and I want a dog, but I have a belief that it's going to be difficult, so
yeah,
probably yeah. I'll have a podcast with my dog very soon. So in terms of your coaching, you are an energy leader, and as you said, it's a work in progress, which everyone that I respect and value always says that what they're doing is a work in progress. So I'm glad. But would you like to talk a little bit more about what that is and what you're going to be doing?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, there's loads of people out there who, you know, and lots of people will have set their new resolutions about, I want to be more productive this year, and I want to be good at managing time. And it stemmed from people kind of looking at the things that I was doing. I was already busy doing a full-time job, and then I decided I was going to do a master's degree whilst doing a full-time job, and then I decided to train up with England Athletics to teach people how to run, and I ran and I started up a social enterprise, and people go, are you mad? What are you doing all these things for? And I think what it started to, people were starting to say to me, you're just awesome at multitasking. And I was thinking, I don't think that is actually it, and there are lots of issues with multitasking as a concept anyway. And I was trying to work out why does this all work? And as I was starting to debug it, I was saying, because all of these different things that I glue together as jigsaw puzzle pieces, they all create different styles of energy for me. So one bit of my life might be on a, you know, on a neutral, one might be a bit tough at the moment, and the other one is on an up cycle. And in aggregate, it means the energy level is always in a good place. And I started kind of researching a little bit more about the concept of how do we manage our energy levels rather than maybe how do we start to, how do we try to manage time? Because at the end of the day, no matter how superhuman we think we all are, we can't create more than 24 hours. At least I haven't found the person who can create more than 24 hours. No, not yet. And I guess some of this picked up in my master's research, which was spending quite a lot of time looking, working with leaders about how they learn and how they feel that they need to be everywhere for their people, which of course is quite exhausting. Whereas actually speaking to their people, what their people wanted was they really recognized the energy that was coming from their leader. They knew when their leaders were on good energy days. They certainly knew when their leaders were having a tough time and there was bad energy or catabolic energy coming from those leaders. And so the principle that I work with when I'm working with clients in this space is about understanding what can we do with our energy, because unlike time, which is limited to 24 hours in a day, we can create infinite sources of energy because it's all around us. It's around us in everybody that we're choosing to speak to or interact with all day. So there are four parts to the kind of model that I'm working on at the moment. So there's the core part of our energy, which is ourselves. And there are some, you know, some basics that are in there about, you know, how we eat well or exercise or don't exercise or how we sleep and rest our brains and the things that drive our values and beliefs as our core energy. There's a creative energy side to leadership, which isn't necessarily just about getting out the box of crayons. So lots of people kind of think, I'm not very arty. And trust me, if you ever saw my artwork at school, I'm not very arty either, but I am quite creative. And often creativity for leaders is actually about understanding there's a difference and asking the right question and having the ability to see optimistically pathways through problems, which is absolutely relevant for leaders. And then the third element is around connective leadership. So this is our ability to be able to forge collaboration and partnerships with people, to find people who have similar interests that we can forge alliances with and can move things forward. So it's about making ourselves bigger than we are just on our own. And then that fourth important piece for leaders within organizations is about how we can be catalytic leaders. So how can we infuse energy into those that we lead so that they go on and create kind of little vortices of energy for themselves as well.
And all of those things, it's so true, isn't it? We really can't find more time in the day. And actually, it's one of the things that I work with my PA on is, let's have a look at the energetic load for what I'm doing, because I know, for example, I couldn't just record podcasts. Some people can record podcasts, you know, and do a whole day of recording podcasts. I couldn't. Like, that would be really draining for me, because I feel that I need to really focus. And I feel like, yeah, although I feel great afterwards, I need to do something that's a bit more like of a transition activity. I'm going to go for a walk. So we are not sponsored by going for walks, by the way. But, you know, they are very good for you. And I think that so many people are looking for the secret to get more out of their time. They're not looking at the at what's going on for them energetically, are they?
Yeah, exactly. And the risk for leaders is that all of the people who work for you can see this, because they see it in you and they feel it in you as well. Mm-hmm. And they feed off how you choose to show up each day. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge responsibility for one human being to take on, that no money really justifies that responsibility. But you can pay back this to your team. You can choose how you show up in the day. And it is your choice in terms of the energy that you give off and what you think that will then do to the team around you to get the best out of them. And that will beat, you know, quite often that will significantly help you with what you're looking for in the pursuit of, for example, you know, how can I be more productive or how can I be more efficient? Well, just use the people more effectively. There's a great piece of research. I think this is by Bruce Schneider, who writes quite a lot around energy leadership, and he was saying if you look at when they've conducted studies, they'll talk to leaders and say, I can't do this because I need more people, and then they'll interview the same people in the organization and say, how much of your skills and talents that you're willing to offer is your leader currently asking of for you? And it rarely goes above 50%. So all that skill and talent and goodwill is kind of left on the cutting room floor, whilst the leader just thinks, I just need more resource. It's sometimes the energy is just there and it's on tap. You just need to find the right way to tap into it.
Makes such a difference as well, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I think the link back to, you know, what I'm learning as a coach through Optimus is, you know, we spent quite a lot of time looking at values and beliefs and needs. So some of these things like, I am the invincible leader, or I am not a creative person. And I'm finding it a completely fascinating journey of kind of really debugging, where do these beliefs come from in people? And sometimes they come from, because I was told at school, I'm not creative. Okay, but you're now 50. A few things have happened since then. Maybe we can have another chat about it. So yeah, it's still a work. I think it'll always be a work in progress, because there's so many great writers out there, and so many people like, you know, Nancy Klein's written some fantastic things in there, and Josh Davis writes some great things, and I'll just keep reading and I'll just keep writing more stuff about it and keep learning and help more people with their journeys.
And that's all that we can do, isn't it?
It is.
So that sounds like a natural place for us to pause energetically as well. And it's a good place according to the time as well. So yeah. In terms of where people can find you, and we'll put this in the show notes as well, where's the best place for people to come and check you out a little bit more?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're on, I am Ian Brown with an E, as opposed to the other one that you're thinking of. So just remember the E that's in there. So you can find me, certainly you can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me at Ian Brown Coaching on Facebook or on the web, which is where you can find all of my blogs that I write, these articles that I'll write every week, and my podcasts will be at Ian Brown, all one word, so IAN and Brown with an E. coach, so ianbrown.coach, and that's where you'll find everything to do with Ian Brown Coaching.
Amazing. Ian, it's been brilliant to have you, and great to have you at Optimus Tea. So if, like Ian, you're considering adding some coach training, maybe you've already done some training, maybe like Ian, you've already done a master's in coaching, who knows, come and check us out. All of the details are in the show notes. You can book a call directly with me and have a conversation about how this could help you too. Thank you for listening to the Coaching Hub podcast with me, Ruth Kudsey. If you enjoy this, I would love you to join my Facebook group, The Coaching Community, for more of the same.